Niggers.
I have a dream.
Oh my God!
One day,
cold pop.
This nation will rise up.
Oh, come on!
Live out the true meaning of this dream.
Oh, come on!
Behold these truths to be self-evident.
Oh, come on!
That all men are created.
Then I thought somebody was barbecued.
You're gonna twist up and down his shaft and suck the head at the same time.
I'm retarded.
Even the state of Mississippi abstaining, sweltering in winter, heating, in dust.
Who else in the love car say yay?
Yeah! That's racist!
Oh, come on!
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
I want to know where to go. Give me the go. I want the go.
You killed Martin Luther King.
Something that you like. Barbecue. Fried chicken. Chitlins. Hush puppies. Watermelon for dessert.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Catch an African-American by the toe.
It's Monday, January 19th, 2015. Coming up on the program today, suicidal rappers at the Apple Store. Plus, I'd like to introduce you to my lady dick. Big Pimp knows how to treat his hoes. And who wants to hear some funny abortion stories? All this plus your voicemails today on Distorted View Daily.
Do you get
it?
Woo!
You fuck me while I fucking give birth to a baby! Oh!
What the fuck is going on? Who is this Michelle White? You're telling me to call her up?
Alrighty, freaks, Dimension with you back, kicking off a new week of programs. This right here is Distorted View Daily. Yeah, I'm working on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I don't really have a problem with that. Actually, what the law should be is that black people get the day off, and all the white people have to work. Why should we benefit from Martin Luther King Jr.'s hard work? We were kind of the problem, actually. I mean, that's why I'm doing a show today. I'm doing it for the black people. If you're white, you really shouldn't be listening to this. So, black people, welcome to Distorted View Daily. I apologize for that awful remix at the top of the program. My heart was in the right place. I wanted to remix MLK with blacks that have been featured over the years here on DV. And it turned out to be kind of racist, huh? Every innocent thing I set out to do ends up coming off racist. I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. I'm starting to think it's me. I know what you're saying, Tim. That's crazy. After all, you've always been so racially sensitive and respectful on the program. It's insane to even consider that maybe deep down inside, there's a racist nugget in there. A little nugget with a hard shell around it. It's like a nut. A relatively small nut, but it's still there. Like a Brazil nut. It's another name for Brazil nut. Oh, that's gonna bug me. They've got a nickname. It's funny. Something Toe. Oh, well, it'll come to me later. The point is, I'm not racist. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Only blacks should be listening. White people should be out picking cotton. That's what whites should really be doing, to, you know, experience what the slaves had to go through. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of plantations anymore. So maybe white people should have to go over to black people's homes and, like, fix up their yard and stuff, rake or shovel, prune trees or stuff. Like, I'm just trying to think of ways that whites could give back to blacks. I know black people want money, reparations and such, but come on. Get your fucking head out of the clouds there, blacks. That's never gonna happen. All right, let's get into some audio, then we'll do some news, some voicemails, and call it a day. First up, I've got a combo clip here for you. This is a Linda Finkel Hall of Fame nominee and a total angry freakout clip. Here's the deal. A Jamaican rapper went to an Apple store to record a music video. This guy obviously doesn't have computer equipment at home, so he went to the Apple store, used one of the display Macs, turned on the camera, and started recording. Unfortunately, his rap song features a lot of profanity, a lot of F words. So the manager kept having to interrupt his song, and he's like, dude, you have to be quiet. There are children here. You're saying the fuck word over and over. You gotta leave. Finally, the fifth time, they were ready to throw him out.
Bad man, them a rap. So that's gangsta boy, now them a rap. So now what's a boy, don't have to go on a face. Kicking on your mouth.
Now, he's in the U.S., but he is a Jamaican rapper.
When I'm kicking on your mouth, boy.
You can't really understand him so well.
When I'm kicking on your face, boy, it's that fucked up your face, boy. Me now want that.
All I can hear is fuck. It's a bunch of gibberish and then fuck.
Stick out your face, boy. Me now like bad man, them a teeth out.
Meanwhile, in the background, there's, you know, people shopping, doing their thing, whatever people do at the Apple store. Here comes the manager.
Yeah. We already talked with everybody. Let's turn it off.
Sorry about that.
Got another complaint. Everybody stopped doing
what they're doing. I'm not in the mood
sometimes. I'm not in the mood either.
I get angry sometimes. So I'm pissing you off sometimes. I'm getting angry.
Me too. So I feel disrespected now because I asked you 5 times today.
All right, you have to listen very closely, but he's like, look, the black guy's like, the Jamaican guy is like, I'm getting pissed off about this. And the Apple manager is like, yeah, me too, but for a different reason. I'm getting complaints. I'm going to have to kick you out of the store. Now, listen to this argument. It's great because the guy's like, well, I can come back tomorrow and record my song then. And the Apple store manager's like, no. He's like, you're more than welcome to come back, but you can't record music here.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you to close it, and you have to leave for today.
Just for today, come back with my music to tomorrow, right?
If you come back, you can't do this. You can come back, we enjoy you, we're fans.
Really, I don't think you enjoy him.
I'm done with my music.
But we can't do the music anymore.
Come back tomorrow with my music.
No more music.
Tomorrow, but you can come
back. Why you ruin my career now? Why you pissing me my career now? Why you ruin my career now?
This guy has single-handedly ruined this Jamaican rapper's career.
Come back tomorrow with my music.
Tomorrow, but you can come
back. Why you ruin my career now? Why you pissing me my career now? Why you ruin my career now?
It's ramping up. Get ready.
I'm getting angry on you. Don't tell me you're getting angry at me, huh? I ruined my career now.
Oh, now he's crying.
Okay, calm down, please. Hey, we always had good conversations, you and I. Yeah, I thought we had a good friendship. I'm not treating you disrespectfully. I'm just asking you.
Oh my god, Apple employees are such fucking pussies. What's going on? I thought we had a good rapport. I thought everything was fine.
Laptop. I don't have a laptop anymore. I don't have a laptop.
You're more than welcome to use the computer. But
you know what?
We're done.
I'm gonna kill myself. Don't fucking piss me off.
Oh, wait a second. Now he's threatening suicide because he doesn't have a laptop. First of all, that's not the Apple Store's problem. You're more than welcome to buy a laptop from the Apple Store, but the fact that you don't have one is your problem. Furthermore, the Apple Store is not an internet cafe. Yeah, you can use the computers, but they're more for, like, trying them out to see if you want to buy one. Can you believe we have to go over this information? Some people don't understand.
I'm fucking angry!
Well, I want to hear the part where he threatens to commit suicide.
I'm fucking angry!
Oops, sorry.
You know what? I'm gonna kill myself. Don't fucking piss me off! I'm fucking angry!
Well, now a real scene is being made at the Apple Store.
You know what? I don't fucking care about you. I don't care about you. I care about you anymore. I ran my career.
This is the best part of his video. Screw the singing and the rapping.
He's the nicest guy, man.
You just
pissed off the wrong guy, man. He's the nicest guy here.
I think that's another customer talking to the angry rapper. Like, oh, you just pissed off the wrong Apple employee. The wrong genius. He's the nicest one here. He is pretty patient, I must say. At the end of the video, he's like, come on, I'll walk you out. We'll talk about this. We'll talk it through. Cuckoo. I just wonder how this video was posted. Was it the Apple employee? Because, you know, that was kind of a dick move, if it was. All right, I've got a brand new submissive bitch boy to showcase. His name is Trick60. He would like to introduce himself and a friend in this first video.
This is Trick60. I just want to take some time out and introduce you to my penis. Her name is Princess Cuddles.
Everyone say hi to Princess Cuddles, his female penis. Now, believe it or not, the penis is pretty... It's a standard penis. It's not, like, dressed up, not wearing a tutu. Like, the head is not all, like, covered in lipstick or anything. But for some reason, it has a girl name.
I want to take some time out and introduce you to my penis. Her name is Princess Cuddles. As you can see, she is a very small penis for her age. She's 44 years old. Although she is about the size of a normal 6-year-old penis. She's very cute and fully functional, and that's my penis. Her name is Princess Cuddles.
Well, there you go. That's the first video I saw of Trick60. What a doozy. In the next clip, we actually get to meet his dominatrix, his mistress.
We're at the park, naked. I'm naked anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are.
Waiting for my mistress to fuck my pussy.
You're going to beg me to do that?
Oh, please. Please fuck my pussy. Oh.
Yeah, they're in a public park at night. He's naked.
Thanks, I'm gonna fuck your pussy right here on this bench.
Oh, please fuck my pussy.
Can we stop saying fuck my pussy?
Lay down on your back.
No. Oh. There's his pussy. His stinky pussy. She's got a strap on. Mm. Actually, I'm not certain it's a strap-on. It might just be a dildo.
Oh, my. Oh.
Oh. Fuck you like a girl.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
The audio was a little shitty because they're outside. Invest in a windscreen, for Christ's sakes. There is another public fucking. Actually, in this one, he's just using the dildo on himself.
Push it all the way in deep.
She directs. Trying to jam the dildo in his pussy.
So, how does it feel fucking yourself in public in the middle of the day?
Feels good.
Yeah? Shove it all the way. I want those balls touching your asshole.
The balls!
It's so dry, though.
Well, then you probably should have sucked it a little longer.
This is a very harsh mistress. Like, mistress, can I have some lube, please? No! Use your mouth! If I was the mistress, I'd say, take the dildo out of your ass and suck it. And then you can put it back in your ass, you disgusting pig.
Ass mouth! Ass mouth! Ass mouth!
All right, finally, before we get into the news, one more clip for you. You know, the National Geographic Channel is one network I thought would never lose its way. I mean, National Geographic, the magazine, has been around for ages, and they've done some amazing work. If you ever look at the magazine, just the pictures are stunning. They go to these remote locations. They feature just, you know, shit that you've never seen before, like big black titties. That's where I saw my first pair of big black titties, National Geographic. I know I'm not the only one. Those tribes, women, just letting it all hang out, fucking plates in their lips, big droopy tits. With, like, white paint around their areolas. Three or four naked children at her ankles. All trying to climb up and get some milk. Whatever. National Geographic has been an institution. So I thought National Geographic Television would uphold these high standards. Unfortunately, the network is starting to go down the shitter. It's swirling around the bowl. It's about to catch up with TLC. Here is National Geographic Television doing a documentary about an urban environment, probably Los Angeles or New York or something, but they're following around pimps, showcasing their various styles, how they control their bitches and shit. It's Oakland, California, by the way.
Okay. Oakland, California. International Boulevard is a well-known track where prostitutes ply their trade.
Yeah, better get your wings.
That's the pimp we're going to be featuring. I don't know what that means. You better get your wings, bitch.
Former drug dealer Big Town works the shop floor.
What you looking at, ho?
He's a reformed drug dealer. He's now a pimp.
Big Town offers a warped idea of providing protection. To him, women aren't people. They're assets he controls.
Well, you got to protect your assets, too, you know? I've got a car. I don't want to see it get dinged.
He has a management style all his own.
You can't stay posted,
you can't stay posted, bitch. All right, guys, I need some help here. Can you, any of you black listeners, translate this stuff for me? I mean, I could Google it. I don't want to waste my time here.
Girls give me 100% of every dollar that they're producers.
Can you believe this pimp takes not 50%, which seems outrageous, right? Because, you know, the ladies are doing all the work. I could see maybe like a 30-70 split, you know? That's what iTunes takes. You know, if you're a developer and you sell an app, you get to keep 70% and you give 30% to Apple. They do all the administrative stuff and they host your files. Android is the same way. It's a 30-70 split. All a pimp really do is just protect the women. You know, if someone doesn't pay or beats up the prostitute, you know, the pimp will come after you. Like a, you know, secure. What I would like to do, I would be a free agent hooker and just pay a security firm, right? If some weird shit ever goes down, I'll just, you know, pay a guy to take care of my problems. There should really be a service like that, like a collection agency for prostitutes. My next great business idea. By the way, someone has stolen another one of my million-dollar ideas. I posted this on Facebook. Remember my idea for a game called Dungeons and Drag Queens? Well, someone has already started cashing in on this idea by publishing books. They just published it last year. I've been talking about Dungeons and Drag Queens for almost 10 years now. So I definitely have the copyright on this, I think. It's been committed to digital form, right? It's saved on millions of people's iPods or iPhones, me talking about Dungeons and Drag Queens. I should sue that guy. My intellectual property. But if you are curious about it, just search for Dungeons and Drag Queens on Amazon. You can see some books available.
Girls give me 100% of every dollar that they're producers.
So how do they make any money? Why are they prostituting exactly? What's in it for them? This is Big Town Pimp. I guess his name is Big Town. He is a pimp.
Big Town is a predator, always on the hunt for new merchandise to add to his stock.
You're on the right train, but the wrong track, baby.
His product is women, and turnover is high to keep pace with demand. His assets can be sold on to other pimps, sometimes by choice, often by force.
Prostitution is 100% more profitable than drug sales.
Yeah, for you, not for the girls.
Pimping, you could spend $1,000 dressing these hoes. Once you convince them, one hoe, clear what you put out that first night. if you're doing it for real.
Oh, so he pays, like he basically dresses the women like, bitch, you going out in these fucking hooker heels and these lace panties, you know, whatever. So they dress them all up. They pay for the clothing and then they expect a return on their investment.
So at the end of the day,
prostitutes are mutual funds.
Prostitution is 100% profit. Yeah, that ain't gonna work. Get off that phone. Day, man, I hope they cut the head off and throw it in the garbage can. Put that on the 10 o'clock news. That's what I think about a real renegade, man.
I'm not entirely... Actually, I have no idea what he's saying.
What you looking at, ho?
Well, there you go. That's a little bit from Big Pimp. That's the type of entertainment you can find on National Geographic Television. I'm pretty sure within the next 10 years, we'll start to see Silk Stocking reruns on PBS. I mean, that's where we're heading. All right, and with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, and fucked up news right now. Love you guys so much. If you would like to support this stupidity and help ensure that it continues on for a long, long time, sign up for the Sideshow, superfreaksideshow.com. Don't do it for me. Do it for you. You get full access to the entire archive of programs. Well over 2,000 shows. We've been at this for 10 years now. Plus, every week you get new exclusive content. I've been doing more videos recently. Plus, every week we do extended shows, exclusive programs. Usually we do like 2 exclusive programs a week. A week! Plus, extended shows and video casts, like I mentioned. It's an incredible deal. It's very inexpensive. It's only $6.99 a month or $66.99 a year. When you equal that out, when you do the math, that's only like $5-something a month if you opt for the yearly. Go to superfreaksideshow.com. Quarterly and semi-annual memberships are also available. Oh, in addition to lifetime memberships. Pay once, never have to worry about recurring charges again. Superfreaksideshow.com. Did a weekend show. Last night, actually. So if you want to check it out, sign up. All right, 3 quick stories, then we'll get the hell out of here. First up, remember a year or two ago there was that story in the news about the bakery that refused to make a gay wedding cake? Well, today I've got the opposite of that story. This time it comes from Colorado, a bakery whose staff wouldn't write "God hates homosexuality" and other anti-LGBT text and imagery on a cake, resulted in the prospective customer filing a discrimination complaint on the bakery. I honestly don't know how I should feel about this, because on one hand, it's like what's good for the gays is good for the gander. Is that the correct saying? I'm not sure. So yeah, I mean, gay people got angry when a bakery wouldn't make them a cake. They filed discrimination charges. And now, straight people who want anti-gay cakes are pissed off when a bakery won't comply. And so they're filing a discrimination complaint. I mean, whatever. I don't think a bakery should be forced to do anything they don't want to do. Free speech and all that jazz. However, if there are, like, anti-discrimination laws on the books, that might be different. I don't know. I don't fucking care, quite frankly. Go to a different bakery. There's got to be some anti-gay baker out there who'll bake you a fucking cake. Likewise, faggots, if you want a cake made, don't go to a bakery that is anti-gay. Because even if they do, even if they're forced to make you a cake, they're probably going to put something gross inside of it. Probably going to blow their nose into it or something, just to spite you. So go to a gay-friendly bakery. All these people crying discrimination. It's a fucking cake, right? They're not fucking curb-stomping your head or something. These people don't want to make you a cake. They don't want to make you a cake. Why force them? I would like to make it clear that we never refuse service. We only refuse to write and draw what we felt was discriminatory against gays. In the same manner, we would not make a discriminatory cake against Christians. We will not make one that discriminates against gays. That's according to Marjorie Silva, owner of Azucar Bakery. I don't know if I pronounced that right. The Colorado clash follows last year's efforts by anti-LGBT activist Theodore Schubert attempting to paint bakeries as hypocritical for refusing to put the words "gay marriage is wrong" on a cake. This man, and presumably the unnamed Colorado man in this story, seek to create a false equivalency. See, this story was written, obviously, by a gay newspaper. Hold on. They have an agenda here. I don't. I say, man the fuck up, and if a bakery doesn't want to bake you a cake, go to a different goddamn bakery. All right, second story we have for you today. A father of three who suffered a failed penis enlargement operation arranged to meet a prostitute before knifing her repeatedly in the neck. I wonder if he told the prostitute beforehand, like, the story of his botched penis surgery. Like, this is why I'm about to knife you. My dick is small and wonky. It doesn't work. I'm just so frustrated. Michael Wynham, whatever the fuck his name is accused of stabbing Carolina Nokikiewicz, 25, to death in a seemingly unprovoked attack in her flat in Berkshire. Berkshire. Before lying her face down on the bed, showering himself clean, and calling the popo. Reading Crown Court was told that at the time of Ms. Nokikiewicz's death on February 17th last year, the married Wynham, 35, was recovering from unsuccessful surgery on his genitals. The jury was told that he still had a dressing on his penis, which had affected his sex life with his wife of 8 years, and that he was self-conscious about the size of his genitalia. Also, how was he sure that the surgery was unsuccessful? Because he can't really even look at his penis. It's still all wrapped up. You can't get a good look until the bandages come off. And maybe his dick is a grower, not a shower, to begin with. I think he jumped the gun there. I don't think doctors told him it was unsuccessful. I think he jumped to conclusions. All right, when the first woman he tried, first prostitute he tried, was unavailable, he booked to see Mrs. Nowikiewicz, arranging to meet her at her flat where she worked as a prostitute to fund her studies. The jury was told how Wynham, who was working on a project for the Office of National Statistics in Southampton, had been not taking his medication for depression in the days before the killing. The killing was utterly premeditated, planned, and clinically executed, said Alan Blake, prosecuting. Attacking her from behind, oh yeah, he sliced open her neck, cutting through her major arteries and her spinal cord. This is all because of a tiny penis. See, women? Be nice to guys with tiny dicks. They snap very easily. There was no evidence that she had been able to even try to defend herself. The first prostitute he tried was unavailable, tragically for Carolina. Yeah, if you're a hooker, if you're a whore, never cover for anyone's shift. Bad things happen. All right, tragically for Carolina, he booked to see her instead. There's no evidence to suggest that they had ever met before. Quote, having killed Carolina and left her face down on the bed, the defendant washed himself in the bathroom, placed the bloody knife in the drawer in the bedroom, went outside and called police to admit what he had just done. The police asked him if it was deliberate or an accident. He replied, I don't know. Whatever, I guess, before giving his name and home address and hanging up to call his wife. In a phone call to her, he said, Hi. Hey, hon, it's me. I've done a stupid thing. That is understating it a bit. You say that when, like, you locked your keys in your car or something. Hey, honey, I've done a stupid thing. Not when you've killed a prostitute. Hi, it's me. I've done a stupid thing. I've killed someone. I'm really sorry. I've killed someone. He then begged her not to tell the couple's two boys, age 6 and 5. Yeah, I don't think she would do that anyway. They're a little too young to understand what's going on. They also have a 1-year-old daughter. He didn't care if she told her that. The first officer at the scene found Wynham, or whatever, sat by the side of the road outside the block of flats with his head in his hands. When they approached him, he told them, I can't believe I've done that. He was taken to a police station in nearby Maidenhead, where he told the custody sergeant that he had recently been circumcised and that he was bandaged as his penis was not healing properly. When police looked through his medical records, they found a draft letter from a general practitioner written in support of an application for a firearm certificate. Are you shitting me? Also, what's this about a circumcision? You get circumcised, your penis is going to be smaller because you don't have that loose foreskin dangling. Was he just lying to the police because he was embarrassed about the penis enlargement surgery? The news story doesn't say. That's the one thing I want to know about in this, dumb report. All right, final story we have for you today. I'm sure most of you have heard about the Vagina Monologues. Well, now there's a similar play all about abortion. Oh, this could either be really good or really boring. depends on if it's a comedy or not. I'm guessing it's not a comedy, so it's going to be a little boring. The play is called Out of Silence and is premiering at the Studio Theater in Washington, D.C. It features 13 true life narratives about women deciding to get an abortion in an effort to humanize that choice and show the variety of paths people take to get there. Murder! Murder is the path you're taking! That path is littered with little mangled, mushy fetuses. And you walk on their little squishy skulls. You monsters. I fully support that decision, by the way. All right, the tales all come from Advocates for Youth, which I guess is some sort of, charity or organization. It's their 1 in 3 campaign. It encourages women to share their abortion stories. I would like to submit some. No one said they had to be true stories. Are you accepting works of fiction? I've got a couple ideas here. See if any of these sound interesting to you. First up, a cannibal fetus who eats his mommy's womb from the inside out. Like a horror. The next story is called Stormy Weather, in which a woman keeps getting knocked up just to have abortions. She keeps going back to the abortion clinic. Time after time, she gets late-term abortions. We also learn there's been a rash of burglaries at the clinic, and medical waste has been coming up missing. At the end of the story, we learn why. Apparently, the woman has been sewing together a raincoat made of late-term aborted fetus skin. Dun-dun-dun! That's the shocking twist. And then finally, one is just a title. I haven't really thought of what the story is going to be, but it's called Bloody Baby Bumpy Bloody Baby Bumper Buggies. It's very difficult. Call into the voicemail line if you think you could say that 5 times fast. All right. Yes, this 1 in 3 campaign encourages women to share their abortion stories. Named for a national abortion statistic, nearly 3 in 10 women in the U.S. will have an abortion by the age of 45. Wow, that seems like a lot of abortions, doesn't it? Why aren't there any fun stats about that? Like, if you took all of the aborted fetuses ripped out of snatches every year, and you took those little mangled babies and you stacked them from head to toe, you could reach the moon and back 7 times! Let's make learning about abortion fun. The theater is a powerful tool for creating empathy and compassion, says Jacqueline E. Lawton, co-producer of Out of Silence, and one of the 10 playwrights who collaborated on the work. How many abortions did you have, Jacqueline? She doesn't want to say. The writers each focused on one story from the 1 in 3 campaign, converting the inner dialogue into conversation for the stage. Sounds fun. Each tonally distinct story is about 4 to 5 minutes long and features 1 or 2 actors, each of whom play multiple characters during the show. We will get at the diversity of race, class, gender, age, and sexuality, says Lawton. The play features the perspective of a lesbian couple facing an abortion, for instance, and a woman who really wants a child but cannot afford to raise one. So she's torn. She's like, I really want a baby, but I can't have one. Just suck it out. No biggie, I'll just produce another one when I'm ready. That's what's so great about walking around with this baby factory of mine. All right, following the Out of Silence premiere, the cast will head out on a tour. We want to make sure people know plays will be made available to present. What? We want to make sure people know plays will be whatever, who fucking cares? We're going to get the play into fringe festivals in New York and D.C., go to big conferences and universities, whatever. Lawton thinks Out of Silence is a perfect fit for regional theater. Artistic directors want urgent, passionate discussions about the decisions that affect our lives. Abortion is one of them. The world premiere of Out of Silence, Abortion Stories, takes place on January 20th. That's tomorrow, freaks. Get your tickets now. That, my friends, is your distorted news. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, listen, there are so many ways to contact me. Email me, show@distortedview.com, if you have a funny video clip or audio clip you've run across, maybe a funny YouTube video or news story. Send it along to me. Maybe I'll feature it on the program. You can also call into our voicemail line, 206-666-4463. We have a Twitter account, @distortedview, and we have a new Twitter account called @ExtremeDV, and that's where I'm going to be posting links to or clips to, like, videos that are very not safe for work. Twitter's very laid back when it comes to pornography. You're allowed to post whatever you want on Twitter. It's great. The problem is I've got so many followers on Distorted View, not all of them want to see, you know, big fat tranny dongs and shit like that. So I'm going to keep the at Distorted View account, the main account, pretty clean. I mean, you know, it's me, so it's not going to be that clean. But no extreme graphic content, no link to pornography and stuff. So if you want to see that, go to at, or, you know, it's twitter.com/ExtremeDV. You can add me there. I just posted a great clip from that, you know, submissive bitch that we featured at the top of the program today. In the clip that I have posted, he's taking a bathroom toilet plunger up the ass. And there's a soundtrack involved. It's scored by Whitney Houston. It's pretty fantastic. Check it out. At ExtremeDV. Extreme!
Hej, det er Dentist. Det er Dentist. Jeg skal lige høre, om I bringer nogle bagels ud i dag.
What?
Det var super fedt.
I have a feeling he's saying something very negative about me. Making fun of me or something. Can someone translate that, please? Thank you.
Hey, Jimmy Blue, it's Electro Baby, and I just wanted to tell you that I'm now a grown boy.
You sound like Pinocchio.
And Harry Comedy is a faggot.
Yeah, Electro Baby was a caller into the voicemail line a couple years ago, and he was very annoying. He had a very high-pitched voice, and then he sort of disappeared after all my listeners started making fun of him.
Hey, Spiral Hamfucker. Hey.
Every day, Spiral Hamfucker calls in. He called in yesterday.
Hey, Spiral Hamfucker.
Hey,
you know, I don't know about you, but I, like, ask my dad for advice occasionally. Like, I need my dad's advice. And I gotta be honest, man. Ever since he's died, he's pretty fucking lazy.
Okay. Thank you, Spiral Hamfucker. You know how at the end of the program I usually say the most important thing you can do for DB is to rate us and review us on iTunes. I'm going to revise that. The most important thing you can do is have a fucking point when you're calling into the voicemail line. I want some good voicemails. That's the most important thing you can do. Because this segment is really excruciating for me.
Chigoo, Tim. You have totally been punked. This one square of toilet paper wiping method, that is a joke from the 60s.
Oh. You know what, though? It works. I was thinking about that. I've been showing it to people.
Some guy with a bad accent just put it on YouTube or something.
Well, no, he was Asian. He was very Asian.
I can't believe you fell for that.
Well, you know, I wasn't alive in the 60s, so I'm not familiar with 60s humor. But, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe, you know, Asians thought it, you know, didn't know it was a joke. And they started using that. I don't know.
Hey, Tim, this is your youngest Sideshow member here, 16 years old. Now, I was wondering why you haven't updated ungod.ly for a while, because I've been listening to old shows, more specifically the June 3rd episode of 2014 with the dickhole guy. And I was wondering if you could post that video to ungod.ly, if you can somehow get that up there.
Oh, yeah, I have it. I should rip that. You know what? I will rip that clip. You'll at least get to see a little bit of the dickhole guy. I don't think I can post the whole scene, but I will. That will be the next video that pops up on Ungodly. Ungod.ly. I haven't posted anything in the last couple months. I think there's been 4 or 5 videos posted on there. You really should check out the Great American Chocolate Factory. If you haven't already, go to ungod.ly and be on the lookout for a new dickhole guy video over there. If you've never seen Scott Taylor, now will be your chance. That's all the time we have on this edition of the show. I want you guys to email me, show@distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-660-GOD. Oh, God.
I just want to take some time out and introduce you to my penis. Her name is Princess Cuddles.
Spread the distortion. Tell all your friends about the podcast. Don't forget to rate us and review us on iTunes. It's very important, almost as important as calling into the voicemail line with something to say. We will see you back tomorrow for the Tuesday show. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Ass and mouth. Ass and mouth. Ass and mouth. Ass and mouth. Get out of it. Put your phone in. Be
case of semen in my mouth.